Okay, I wonder if we could start by having you give me your full name.
Mm-hmm. I'm Roberta Adele Hollander, and married, I'm hyphenated, Williamson hyphen Musco. And my father was Charles Sanford Hollander, born in 1892, came to the zone the first time in February of 1918. Daddy was one of the founders of the Connell Zone Credit Union. Daddy also was a Boy Scout leader, and I have his card from the registration in August of 1918 with the Boy Scout Troop 1. And after his time in the zone, Daddy was not a Roosevelt Medal holder. He did leave the zone, but he went back in 1929. He was there. One of his positions was working with three different divisions. He worked with the municipal engineers and two other divisions, and I think he was one of the few people that ever worked at three different divisions. Mm-hmm. And one of his jobs was to supervise the mess and the construction at Madden Dam. Mm. He met my mother, who was a nurse, who came down. Her name was Eleanor Freund Hollander. And she came to the zone in 1929 as a nurse at Gorgas. They married in 1931, August of 31, the 15th. And I was born on July 18th of 1932. Mm. And we left from Pedro McGill when I was born. We lived in a hut in Madden Dam, which was a very small community of probably five or six families max. They no longer exist, of course. They've become jungle now. Mm. And at that time, there was also a family named Klotz, Kathy Klotz. And my mother, being a nurse, former nurse, was friends with many of the physicians' wives. She knew Sampson, Dr. Sampson, Irma Forbes. These are all kids who, they seem to have kids about the same time I was born. Mm-hmm. And I'm part of the class of 50 of Balboa High School. And our class this year, incidentally, is having what we're calling the ultimate reunion, because we're meeting with the 49ers, 50s, 51s, 52s, and 53s.
Wow. That's great.
So that's enough. What would else you like to know? I have a little sister, incidentally, who is also attending. Her name is Rosemary Louise Hollander.
Okay.
And she will be here today. Her married name is McCorkle. Mm. And Rosemary was born in 1936, and we moved from Madden Dam in 1936 and moved to the Heights. We lived on Mindy Street, which overlooked what was the airport. Mm-hmm. Were there until 1937, moved to Florida, moved back in 1940, but Daddy stayed on with the zone, the beginning of World War II, getting preamed up for the war. My mother, little sister, and I were stuck in Jacksonville from 1941 until 1945.
Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. But Daddy was in the zone the whole time. And during that period, he worked on the messes for the troops coming through, and of course continued his work with the ME division. And during that period, he still and was one of the founders of the credit union, the Connell Zone Credit Union. And my father was, I was telling my granddaughter here, that Daddy had the safe in his room. Mm. And people would come who had a death in the States, and they would ask Daddy for money. And Dr. Sampson was one of the people that had initiated the founding of the Connell Zone Credit Union. Daddy had some prior banking experience, and he continued with that until he retired in 1953. They built a beautiful building, what was used to be 4th of July Avenue, but it's in the zone. But they did build the beautiful Connell Zone Credit Union building before Daddy retired.
Okay.
And he went on to do six or seven other credit unions after he retired in 53. I graduated from Balboa High School in 1950.
What was the high school like during those years?
Balboa High was the Canal Zone was like Never Never Land. We never had a dirty street. Everything was immaculate. It was run by the military. And we had several generals that handled things. If the kid was bad, the kid was deported. You didn't have bad kids stay in the Canal Zone. I was in a mariner troop. We had our little sailboats. At Balboa High School, I was makeup editor of the Parakeet. If you know what the Parakeet was our high school newspaper. And during the year that I was a senior, Bert Page was one of our artists with the Parakeet. Mary S. Brigham was the sponsor, and we did See Panama First. Wow. And at that time, we were very lucky. We and my friends did Panama, and we got with the ambassador, Murray Wise, and we went to the museum, and we went out in the boonies, places I had never been, and featured Panama First in the high school. The high school wasn't air conditioned in those days. The year that I was the eighth grader was the year the Yankees came. And we had Joe DiMaggio outside.
Really?
I was taking eighth grade Spanish as a fresh, it was seventh grade Spanish, but I was an eighth grader that year, and I was on the second floor. And we could look out and see the football state and where the ball field was. And we did have Joe DiMaggio and all the Yankees there, which would have been right after World War II, probably 45 to 46.
Wow.
And as I say, the high school was not air conditioned. Things were pretty hot. We had an ROTC. The kids would parade out on the parade grounds. There were girls who were classmates who were the sponsors of the guys. They had an excellent ROTC. I also was in theater, which was called the Balboa Little Theater. The director was Subert Turbyfil. And we called him Turby, or Mr. Turby. And Mr. Turby had, actually, we had some pretty good plays. They were done in through the high school. And we also had music, which was Mr. Brandstetter, and we called him Branny. And one of the nice things was at Christmas time, the old Balboa Elementary School was the site of Christmas carols. And the girls would be dressed in long white dresses and carry candles. And the chorus for the high school would sing at that, including the Hallelujah chorus.
Right.
What else about the high school? We had touch football. They brought, that was the first year that when I was there, that we brought down Miami High School. And the boys got really muddy out there. And the only other competitors, of course, were the junior college.
Yeah.
And Coco, Cristobal Bums.
Cristobal, yeah.
We also had Caribbean Girl State. Are you familiar with Boys and Girl State?
I don't think so.
In the United States, a certain junior is invited, representative of his area, and they're very selective. My granddaughter's bigger brother is going to represent Florida and Titusville at the Boy State here in Florida. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we had Caribbean Girl State. And it was the first year we ever had it. We had it out at one of the former Army bases, and they had to put in the bathrooms, they didn't have doors, and they had to put canvas up for us. And the first year, we lived in, like, cabins. The second year, we were junior counselors for that. Mm-hmm. And it was fun because we had generals. I wrote the newsletter, and I wrote, what was it? Something about munitions. And the word that I put was, I spelled the word wrong, and everybody was hysterical because instead of going to the lecture on the guns, I wrote it in writing, and everybody said, hey, you didn't go because you spelled this, and that isn't the word at all.
I know.
I can't think of the word. It'll hit me later. But Caribbean Girl State had supposedly the representatives of either high school.
Okay.
And they elected a president, vice president, senators, etc.
Okay.
And still have the little pin from that.
Wow.
What else would you like?
Well, what you had mentioned on our way over, what was life like for women? I mean,
Well, my mother, being a nurse and an educated nurse, she had graduated from St. Vincent's Nursing School in Birmingham the week of the ending of World War I. Mm. So she had had a career. She was born in 1896. She got her appointment to the zone from Senator Lester Hill of Alabama. She was a private duty nurse, and she learned that there was something going on that she wanted to do. She'd had a unhappy romance, so she came down to the zone, and I have her letters. My aunt in Alabama kept every letter from my mother.
Wow.
And she doled those out to me when I would go visit Aunt Hilda in Coleman, which is actually this tornado that hit.
Oh, Coleman, I know where that is. My wife's family live in near Aniana, Springville.
The tornado hit the homestead that my grandfather built in 1900, survived.
Wow.
My cousin's home was demolished.
In
a newer home,
yeah,
on the more fancier end of Coleman, but the old place did not get. Anyway, Aunt Hilda doled out letters. So I have the letters, and there was a gentleman from Florida State who did do a dissertation on not more discrimination, but snobbishness of American women toward the Panamanians. And I think that he commented on that. I haven't read his dissertation, but I have a feeling that one of my mother's comments was she was going to a ball and she was going to meet the queen of the carnival, who was black. Did she have to get down and curtsy and kiss the woman's hand? And being a nurse, single in the zone in 1930, 29, 30, 31, before she married, those nurses had a ball. And what she writes, granted there were some disadvantages, the weather. They went horseback riding. She was in a horse race. They were partied. They were faded. She rode on a seaplane to the San Blas Islands.
Wow.
And as you know, there was a long period when white people were not allowed to stay overnight between that period. And lately now you can. But at one time you could not go to the islands, but she flew in a seaplane with pontoons. And I brought a piece of the mola that she brought at that time with me today for the mola lady. But I think they had a wonderful time as nurses. They were, one of the interesting things they had was that she wrote, you know, the admiral that was down at the South Pole? Okay, she was a dental nurse at the hospital. Nurses did a lot of things. She worked, took up babies too. But when they came back from the north, from the South Pole, the men had, their teeth was in, were in bad shape.
Yeah.
And my mom wrote in her letter how they cared for these men who had just stopped from the South Pole, had come up to Gorgas Hospital for care. And Gorgas, a few years ago, they did feature the nurses at Gorgas and the staff, and all of us who were Gorgas babies got a little name tag at one of the reunions, a little pink one if we were a baby girl, or a little blue one. I have the name tag with me, too.
That's great.
But I think for my mom, she did contract pneumonia. The dampness did get her. She felt she was more comfortable in the States, which is why in 1940, when we decided to go back in fall of 41, we left and from the zone and went back to the States. And we're stuck during World War II. Daddy was in the middle of the Pacific, the Caribbean, going back to the zone when Pearl Harbor was bombed. And we were, of course, forced to stay in Jacksonville. Daddy came home for 4 months because zone people, you know, got 4 month vacations. You could save up your 2 months and then you could, you'd come every couple of years instead of. And Daddy was a scout counselor at the local Boy Scout camp, and she was camp nurse during part of 44 and 45. She died in 1947. She contracted pancreatic cancer. Her nurse friends were still supportive. They were still there, many of them. And as far as she was concerned, as a young single woman, I think they had a wonderful time as far as women in the zone. And being many officers, they had the pick of the crop.
Now, when you were in high school, You mentioned the is very high caliber of a school.
Our teachers all were at least a master's degree, and they were mainly the classes that we had were, I'm trying to think of the word, New York Regents qualified.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I understood. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Holtz was our principal at the time. The kids that I ran with were all went to college. Mm-hmm. Most of them did go to school in the States. Not all of them. They had to take the big exams just like they take SATs now. Mm-hmm. I know when I went to Colorado State College of Education, I didn't have to take freshman English. Mm-hmm. I clept it because I had my scores were so good. Mm-hmm. I didn't decide I wanted to be a teacher, so I transferred to Florida State. Mm-hmm. But I think that the education that we received in the zone, we had many friends. I was in the United Nations Club. A student whose parents were willing to pay the tuition from outside of the zone, I think it was $40 a month. I wouldn't swear to it. Did pay tuition. We would get kids come from Maria Immaculata, which was the Spanish girls' educational school there. Many of the kids would go to boarding schools up north if they were upper-class Panamanians. But we had the melting pot. We had the ambassadors' daughters come to our school. Our homecoming queen, Jacqueline Blau, she was Swiss ambassadors. Anyway, we had a United Nations Club, and it was wonderful. There were about 30 or 40 of them, and I was the only American girl in the club, and there was a great bit of patriotism at that time and international fellowship among us.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you thinking about, you mentioned teaching earlier, were you beginning to think about a career in high school or
I wanted to be a fifth grade teacher, mm-hmm. and I fell in love, and the guy that I fell in love with as a senior could not teach because he had papilloma of the larynx. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you can't teach, what do you do for a living? Transferred to Florida State. They tested me with the round pegs and the square holes, and I went into business. Mm-hmm. And I ended up with a degree in personnel administration. Was a management trainee for Sears, ended up in the 99th percentile of Sears employees as far as bosses. You know, they tested me in Atlanta. But retail in those days, the reason I didn't like retail was you either had too many people on the sales floor and you were wasting money, or you didn't have enough and you were losing money. I also fell in love with this young lady's grandpa and worked 2 years for Sears, decided not to get married, went to work in Jacksonville, went home to daddy, licked my wounds. My prospective husband, who was a vet, Citadel grad, a vet, came to see me before he went to France to study, called the day before he sailed, wasn't going to get on the ship, so I got on the ship. 3 weeks later, he went over and waited for me, and I got on the ship. We were married in Paris, France on the 12th of October of 56. After that, I stayed home. I worked for 9 months in Charleston, and because his parents lived in Charleston, and then moved to Jacksonville and had six kids, stayed home for 16 years.
Wow.
So that's why I never taught, but he ended up as a teacher.
Oh, okay.
And an educator.
That's interesting.
With an NDEA grant.
Okay. So when you left, now you said you were the class of 1950 at Balboa High School. And did you return to Panama at any point, or did you?
I flew down in 1952. Daddy retired in 53. I flew down my senior year in Jackson was it from Colorado? No, it was from Florida State. I flew down for a 2-week vacation. I was taking shorthand. I was flunking shorthand. My parents got a hold of the teacher with Balboa High School, had her over to dinner. She did a little tutoring. I passed the class with a C. Right. Thank you, Balboa wow. High School. And they also had Miss Brigham, of course, my teacher over back again, my faithful journalism teacher who I adored. And then I did not go back again until summer of 90.
Wow.
And it was right after Operation Just Cause. My oldest son works for Uncle Sam. He's in Department of Defense. He ended up going to Monterey in foreign language school, his specialty is Spanish, and he would do summer replacements. Incidentally, he is still working for Department of Defense, and he doesn't talk about what he does, but he's in Germany now with his wife and three kids. They have tried to get to Germany, and they managed to get there, but Mark has been to Nicaragua, did Panamanian vacation for some of the security people. So I went for 3 days in 1990, right after Operation Just Cause, met Mark. He says, okay, it's safe to come. There were young ensigns and guards for the embassy that had a house in downtown Panama. And we were in the banking quarter. And Mark ran every night downtown where the statue of Balboa is. I said, I would never have gone at night as a young girl in Panama, one doesn't. He said, oh, no, there's a guard every three banks, you know. And there were these young men having a party. Mm-hmm. It was on the right after they had had that killing for some of the embassies in France or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they had killed the young ones at the embassy. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I said, where are the guards? Why are these young men having a party and there's just a little man sitting at the foot of the street with a checklist? And my son said, don't worry about it. There's somebody watching. Anyway, they were right next door to some beautiful homes on the water. And they had a picture of Noriega that was their target with a dartboard. They were throwing darts at the pineapple face is what they called him.
Yeah.
And we did go through Quarry Heights. We went to dinner at the Officers Club, and then we walked down the hill from Quarry Heights, down through the Orchid Garden, and down into the Balboa Flats. And tell you the truth, when we landed, the plane landed, I cried. Mm. This is really where I was born. It is my home. It's where I was born. It's where my parents met. My mother is buried there. Panama is a unique place. The zone was, as I say, never, never land. Mm-hmm. Went one of my class reunions probably 20 years ago, but he usually comes. One of my classmates, one of the upper class Panamanians, is David Robles. Mm-hmm. And he is a very wealthy, influential attorney. And I said to him, well, David, how are things down in the zone? And David looks at me and he said, Panama. So every year I tease him about being president, but he doesn't want to be president when I see him at reunions. Uh-huh. But we were very, very privileged. I was privileged to have grown up in an environment that was so safe, mm-hmm. so good, and so secure, and so patriotic. My father was in the American Legion. I still have his Legion hat from adjunct number one, you know, his little crooked hat. And as a kid in the third grade, the year we were there in 1940, mm-hmm. And it's getting time, I know, they had a pen pal. And so I wrote as a result of my Canal Zone background to a girl named LaVon Polly, and I corresponded her many years. And one of the things that I'm proud of is being a Girl Scout, I was selected as representative, along with a girl named Yvonne Harvey from the Cristobal side, as a junior in high school to attend the Western Hemisphere encampment of Girl Scouts. Mm. And Lady Baden-Powell was a guest. This was in Michigan. And there were girls from all over the Western Hemisphere. And as I say, I was representing along with her from the Canal Zone. We had them from, Puerto Rico. We had every South American country. And we had, the camp had been set up mm-hmm. by the Girl Scouts from all over the United States.
Okay.
So that was a great event. And the following year, because I was the representative, I did work with day camp for the Girl Scouts. They'd had a big send-off tea for us. The general's wife had a silver tea in honor of our going to get enough money to send us. And as I say, we were very privileged to do that. And we were also, we had a Girl Scout chorus. We did Pumpernick's Hansel and Gretel.
Wow.
And I was the witch, the cookie witch. And my little sister also was the cookie witch. And we know nibbling, cribbling mousy, who nibbles at my housey. So if you want to hear the whole thing, I won't sing it today.
Okay.
Rachel's laughing. What else?
Well, this is a wonderful narrative. I mean, you've talked about life in the zone and some of the changes that happen over time and leaving and coming back. And this is it's a very full story. Are there any other aspects that you haven't had?
I brought my husband.
Okay.
My first husband died of colorectal cancer in 1987. Uh-huh. I remarried 3 years later. And one of my classmates, Davis Stevenson, runs Condor Tours.
Okay, which we're also interviewing.
And Davis was one of my classmates. He was one of the military guys in ROTC.
Hmm.
And his wife, June. Anyway, I did bring my husband. And we did the 14-day tour with Davis.
Mm.
We went to places. I had been to El Valle in 1944, 45. Went up to the AAA place and got full of ticks with my mom. But when we went with Davis's tour, he had a group of about 40 people. There was also a man named Horine, H-O-R-I-N-E. He is the big brother of one of my classmates' husband, Larry Horine. And he and his wife were on the bus with us. There was a guy there who was about 300 pounds at the back of the bus, whose daddy was the architect for the zone. Every stop, because we toured all the towns, he had a photo op because his daddy lived in every town. And he would rumble up from the back of that bus, hot as blue blazes. He would get up and wander up to the front because he had to sit on the big seat in the back.
Yeah.
And he would go get the picture taken where he used to live. Mm-hmm. My house, we did go by my house. As a matter of fact, when my son was, when I went down in 90, we did go to my mother's grave at Corzell.
Mm-hmm.
Davis also made it possible. Davis also makes a trip to Raposa. You know what Raposa is? If you go to the vendors' room, they are the vendors, the jewelers. They take the lost art replicas of the pre-Columbian stuff. I have a Waka.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking
a
couple hundred dollars worth of Waka and the earrings.
Mm-hmm.
Davis takes you to Raposa.
Okay.
His trip is very good. They take you to one of the restaurants where the men don't have a urinal. They have a trough.
Uh-huh.
My husband loved that. And they also had 10-cent beer. And the bus had a ice chest. Every time the bus stopped, they'd have to have a pit stop. They'd all get a drink, and then we'd have a pit stop 15 minutes later.
Right.
But Davis does a terrific tour,
uh-huh.
and the only regret I have is that I did not take the extra days and go to the San Blas Islands.
Uh-huh. Wow, those are beautiful.
But it was a wonderful tour. I would love to take my whole family when I turn 80, which is a year from now. I don't know whether money-wise I could afford it with six kids and all the grandbabies, but maybe. But again, growing up in the zone was a privilege, and I thank you for being asked.
Well, thank you, and this is a wonderful story.